I want to share something with you. It's such a treat to get to do what I get to do. There's these magnificent practices that we have. There's this amazing knowledge about our spiritual self. And I know we all go out and we get involved in life, and there's so many things going on. And to be able to be together and focus on one of those experiences or practices or understandings is just so meaningful. And it's such a support to my life to do that. And it's such a joy to share it with you. There's so often our focus is on how to work with that spiritual capacity within us that is love, and how to make that connection, because so much happens there. And I think it's 2 weeks from yesterday, we're going to have an all-day workshop on heart math. And it's one of those ways of doing that that has been so meaningful to many of us. And also, it's one of those things that I've had a lot of people say, wow, I need to get back to that, or I haven't had a chance to learn that yet. So we thought we'd jump in and do that. But today I want to go someplace else. Now, the truth is, you never go someplace else. If you're working with spirituality, you're working with love. That's the way it is. But there's a particular way of working with it that has meant so much to me for the 37, 38 years we've been doing it. So I want to share it with you, but I want to share it in a different way than it's usually looked at. And it's the spiritual practice of tithing, the practice of giving a tenth of all that comes into us to that place where we are spiritually nurtured and supported. Now, one of the things that is really important to me is not taking spiritual instruction from the Bible and ministers. And I assume that's important to you, or you wouldn't be at Unity. We have the independent souls of the universe gathered here. I had begun in my spiritual studies. I was still in the world of law at the time, but there was so much there that was very rich to me. And so I began to learn, first of all, the experience of prosperity as part of a practice of using spiritual laws. I'd begun my study of spiritual law at that time, so it made a lot of sense. And so when I read Charles Fillmore's book on prosperity, I looked at the experience of tithing. That made sense. But it also raised a whole lot of questions for me. And so I went about for some years looking at people's life experiences as they engaged in the practice of tithing or didn't. Because I heard many things, some of them just didn't add up. And some of them I came to realize were simply misunderstandings. And so one of the reasons I share this is I think this spiritual practice is one of the most misunderstood. It's got some amazing things in it. What I began to see as I watched the lives of people that were working with it, because that's really where we get to see whether something works. We get to see, does it make a difference to a person's life? What do they become or grow into as they follow a spiritual practice? So as I looked at it, what I realized was there was a real distinction that I was witnessing between the people that practiced tithing and the people that did not. Now, it took me a while to understand it. There's a teaching that's a part of the understanding, and that's that in practicing tithing, there is a quality of protection that comes into our lives. And what I realized is whatever that meant, it certainly didn't mean that the people that were practicing tithing didn't have lots of good, sound major challenges in their lives. Because as far as I could tell, their lives were as challenged as other people. But in meeting those challenges, I saw a difference. As they were in the midst of turmoil, I saw that for many of them, there was a presence of peace. Now, I don't mean that they were always peaceful, but it was a capacity within them that they could get to and that they carried. And it made a difference how they showed up meeting those challenges. There was a fear that they did not carry that others did. Now, I don't mean that they had no fear, but that rather there's an anxiety about life that, as people had practiced this over time, had become minimal in their world. And that became fascinating for me to really recognize. There was a qualitative difference in the life experiences that were being had. Now, what happened was, so Catherine and I decided that we would embrace this practice, and we did. And what I can tell you after 37 years of it is, when I say, "Okay, God, I'm willing to give up anything," it doesn't include tithing. It's just too important, too beautiful an experience in our life. I found it very interesting when I ran across this thought from Sir John Templeton. Templeton is a billionaire who is chairman of the Templeton Funds, a huge investment organization. And I have a special affection for Sir John because he quoted my book in his book, and it's an ego thing, but the truth is this man had a deep affection for unity and the spirituality, and a strong commitment to his own spirituality and the belief, which he shared freely, that the rich abundance in his life was because of the practice of tithing. But he held a very unique position. He got to work with so many people in their financial abundance. He shares this thought. He says, "I have observed 100,000 families over my years of investment counseling." That's something to look at, isn't it? He goes on and says, "I always saw greater prosperity and happiness among those families who tithed than those who didn't." That's an interesting reflection. "I always saw greater prosperity and happiness among those families who tithed than those who didn't." I think what touched me about what he was sharing was it began to kind of give words to what we had seen as we'd been looking to try and understand the spiritual practice and where it fit in our lives. There's many scriptures that touch on tithing. I want to share one with you because it gives a fairly complete look at the process. Now, there are two things that are generally shared about tithing. One is expansion, that it helps our abundance expand, that it opens us to a greater goodness. And it's certainly my experience that that is true. The other one is that it creates protection. And that's something that has been a challenge for me to understand. And yet I've come to recognize that there's a validity in that. But there's a third quality that is often not spoken of. And to me, it is the most valuable of what we receive through the tithing. From Malachi. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it." Okay, so that's the expansion. So there's the promise as you tithe, as you bring this into the spiritual place. that it returns in expansion within our lives. It goes on, and it goes on with the protection. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. There's a consciousness there, some way that is talking about that we get a protection experience from that. But then the beautiful part, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Suddenly we're not talking about quantity. We're talking about quality. And that is the real gift. The quality of opening, using this practice to open ourselves into a deeper partnership, a deeper relationship to this divine presence. Now, when I look at understanding the protection part, it's taken some work to understand it, because I realized at first I thought of it as the boll weevil protection. Now, I call it that because of something that I read earlier from Charles Fillmore's work on prosperity. And he shared a situation. So we're talking about the early 1900s. And this is Georgia, cotton crops, struggling with the boll weevil. And so there was a little church in the agricultural area. And so the minister said, well, here's this tithing teaching. So why don't you test it? Why don't you commit, go to specific fields and commit a tenth of that field, the first thing that you take from there, that you sell that and give that to your house of worship. So 7 farmers signed up for this. Fillmore says, they took no measures to protect their crop on these dedicated acres, yet the pest did not attack the cotton there. The quality of the fiber was better on those acres than on any that adjoined them. The experiment was so successful, in fact, that practically all the farmers in that community committed to follow that plan in their future. So there's some element of protection here. Fillmore goes on to explain it. He says, many experiences such as this are awakening men to respect our relation to the infinite principle of life, everywhere present, that we know of as God. We're talking about divine principle, that wherever life is, that is this divine presence. And that by attuning to that through this practice, by bringing this material world into the world that we see as divine and responding to us from the divine, that we deepen in our relationship to that so that it responds in that heightened awareness with greater goodness. A fascinating journey into both a greater awareness of our oneness and this sense of protection. Now, boll weevils are just a little distant from my life. So I wanted to share with you the experience of a woman, a committed tither. Her name is Stephanie Crowley. And Stephanie was at the point in her life, she'd gone through a separation in her marriage, and she was running a small business. And she discovered that her business partner, who was responsible for the financial things, had not bothered to pay taxes. And so she ended up suddenly with this huge debt to deal with through the business. She chose not to do bankruptcy, but to pay it, which was a huge burden. And as she's going along, then the government decides to audit her for a couple years there. Now, those of you that have had that magnificent opportunity for spiritual growth may have some compassion for Stephanie. So, although I do need to tell you, she's talking about provincial, so I'm assuming it's Canada rather than the U.S. But she had cooperated, and she realized whatever's going to happen, it'll happen, you know, I'll owe some money, and, you know, so I just need to know what it is so I can make plans to get on with my life. And what she found was the government was not responding to her and telling her what she owed and what the deal was. So she finally confronted the folks and said, why are you not wrapping this up? They said, well, you gave away too much money. She said, what do you mean? She says, well, you gave away more than people normally give. So we're trying to figure that out. They don't seem to have a consciousness of abundance and generosity. Anyhow, so it caused her to take a look. She, in her tithing, which was her primary giving, she'd done that and done that generously. And yet, in fact, she was in a very difficult situation. Difficult financially, difficult personally, difficult in terms of the amount of energy being demanded to deal with these challenges. And so she had to ask herself, was it worth it? I mean, here that was even what was hanging up the government. What she did when she looked was she realized this was what was meaningful to her. That this part of her life, that she acknowledged and support her spirituality, her relationship with that divine for herself and others, was what was valuable. So instead of stopping it, she made a greater commitment to it. As she went on with that greater commitment, what happened was she went to the bank and she went to examine her account, and there were $10,000 extra dollars in her account. Now, I can tell you that Catherine and I have had that fortunate experience only when we told the bank they took it back out. It wasn't ours. They left it in for Stephanie. They said, the government put it in here for you. So she went and they asked the government, and the government explained that what happened was they ran across something that she hadn't taken advantage of. She hadn't filled the form out to take advantage of it on her taxes. And if she had, she also hadn't filled the form out to take care of it for a number of prior years. But they did that for her, and she had all this extra money that the government had decided she needed. So they put that in her bank account, and she was able to go forward and pay off her debts. Now, what happens is, in this, what we begin to embrace is that we are in a partnership with a greater consciousness of goodness than the boll weevil or the government. It is a greater experience of goodness and flow. And we direct that connection. We establish it. It doesn't convince God that we're more lovable. Tithing doesn't make any difference on how much the divine loves you. If you never give a thing, you're loved not one bit less. But it does have to do with how we connect and open to that flow and that abundance. So there was not only a protection there of things that she saw as difficult, but there was an expansion in her ability to move through her challenges. I recently experienced this experience of protection in a very interesting way, and I realized, reflecting on it, that in part it went to my practice of tithing. I shared with you a couple months ago that I'd gone through the experience of receiving a threat against my life. And when I look at what took place within me over that time, what I realized was there was a real potential of fear. Now, there were things in me I had to look at and see what that was. But there was within me a very clear sense of protection that went into the physical world, not just spiritual ideas and the things like illumination and guidance, but very real sense of this divine that I have been growing and working with takes care of my body, its safety, my house, my family. that was very real. And when I looked at it, I realized it went back into this awareness that this material world, this physical world we journey through, is part of the divine. It's not separate. And just as we grow into the deeper connections at other levels, we grow into the connection of this presence here, now. One of the things that did was it made it much easier to stay in a place of love and compassion with the people who were acting out the difficulty that they had. And that it opened the door so that we were able to enter into an agreement that honored the boundaries we needed to have. But at the same time, we're able to honor and acknowledge needs that were important to them. And so even in a place that appeared difficult, there was room for understanding and cooperation. And that divine presence in the midst of the difficulties of life is part of my appreciation of this simple practice. What happens is we build a partnership. We expand our awareness that the divine is present in everything, is the source of all our good. But there's an expansion that I've been fascinated with for a while. Mark Victor Hansen. Some of you may know him. He's one of the co-authors in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And the truth is, he has done a great deal in guiding people in success and the entrepreneurial side of our financial system. Now, Mark got into tithing by basically entering into a business early in his life, and it just collapsed, and he went through an extensive experience of loss. At that point, what happened was he began to research what it took to be successful, and he came across the teachings on tithing and integrated that into his life, and again, attributes his success to much of that. But he also, because he has a deep spiritual commitment in what he does, he has again looked at this rather than in the financial sense. He's looked at it in the spiritual sense. And he shares this thought: tithing is essential for the development of the soul. That's an awesome thing. Tithing is essential for the development of the soul. Now, I appreciate the understanding that he's looking at. I'm not able to say that because I don't believe that there's any you have to along the way. I think there are many options to us. It's one of the reasons we can have all these amazing religions and crazy religions. And they're working for somebody. Go for it. So I wouldn't go to this degree. But what I think he's reaching for there, what he's saying, he's seeing the quality aspect that we're talking about. What becomes spiritual maturity exists as we are able to expand our awareness of the divine down into and including the material world, discovering that God really is the source of all our good. So what happens is, as this grows in us, part of it is we see a grace that moves through our dealing with our challenges. But there's also great wisdom that happens there, how we're guided. Now, guidance is a little different for different people. Okay, there was a woman who was dealing with a financial challenge. I'm going to call her Mary. And Mary had She'd done the things that you do. I mean, she was connecting with a friend from high school, but she'd gone on. She'd gone to college. She'd gone to graduate school. And she was now at the beginning place in business. And as you know, if you've done that route, at that point you have huge debt, not enough income to quite make it, but you're almost at the beginning. So after all these years, she goes back to her hometown, sees this friend from high school, and the friend is wealthy and hasn't done any of this. So she says to her friend Susie, "Okay, Susie, what's the deal?" And Susie said, "Well, I was happy being a waitress, and you know, I got a little money from my mom. It wasn't much, but you know, I was doing okay, so I thought, well, I should invest this." So I didn't know what to do, and I'd heard in church about going and looking things up in the Bible. So my Bible, and I closed my eyes, and I went down the page and opened and looked and said, "Oil." That was the word I would point at. So I went and took my money and invested it in oil. And oil just went up like crazy. So I was pretty good. So I was at a different place, and I thought, well, now I should look again. So I went and I opened the Bible, and I closed my eyes, and I went, and it said gold. So I took my money out of oil, I put it in gold. You know that financial thing we went through? Well, gold just shot up. She says, "I have more money, and I know what to do with." The mirror's sitting there, and she goes, "Maybe I should try this thing out." So she hurried home, got and opened her Bible, and closed her eyes, and went down and looked at what it said, and it said, chapter 11. Now that one may not be true. There's this beautiful protection. There's this amazing quality in our lives, but there's also expansion, and I want to just touch it briefly, because in the expansion is part of the challenge to our own consciousness. What is going on? This is what takes us in this experience into confronting our oneness. Now, I want to share with you a story. I've shared this before, so I'll just do it simply. But it's what I ran into that made me relook at what was really taking place in tithing. So this was an experiment in a church in Michigan in the 1940s. And they did a couple of things. They it was actually a Quaker church. And they wanted to understand, what does it mean when it says God gives the increase? What's that look like? So they took a cubic inch of wheat, and they planted it, and they made the commitment to tithe on that. Now, the miller, again, agricultural town, the miller was part of the team that was running this. And so the miller figured out as they went, and they kept taking and replanting 9/10 each year for 6 years. Okay, at the end of the sixth year, they harvested and did their measurement. Now, Miller also kept track of what would have happened if, instead of planting 9/10, they'd planted the whole 10/10. And what would that result be? So the result of planting the 10/10 would have been 5,297 bushels if they'd have replanted the whole thing each time. Now, that is a lot of wheat. I mean, can you imagine bushels of wheat out on that lawn and filling the patio and coming? I mean, 5,297. Amazing experience of expansion from a cubic inch in 6 years. Now, the wheat that was tithed on, they, of course, didn't replant as much. They replanted the 9/10 instead of the 10/10. The result was 72,150. 5,000 for the 10/10, 72,000 for the tithed wheat. Now, you can't get there by coincidence. Something is going on. Now, it makes me think of that boll weevil thing and think, what was really going on there? What happens is we have a oneness with the divine presence in the material world. We are incarnated in a material world. We are spiritual beings with the power of creation in this material world. And we maximize the quality of that creation by this divine relationship. And this is one of the ways of taking that relationship and the quality of life to its highest. Now, what I know about the people in this room, many of you tithe. All of you are generous. I know that. It's a wonderful thing. So I want to suggest that this week, if you're a tither, if this is something you're doing already, that this week you take and become very conscious in that practice. Look at it and go to that deep appreciation, that deep love in your heart for God as source. Recommit and re-energize, reawaken the quality of that practice in your life. I have found I've fallen into habitual tithing, and it's not nearly as fun as conscious tithing. So doing that, recommitting to that, really supporting yourself that way to experience the full quality of what is there. If you're not, I invite you to take and just look with your heart at whether or not this is a spiritual practice that would support you in your spiritual journey. And there's no have to on this road. But there are choices we make in our spiritual practice. Remember when you started to pray? Wow, what a difference began to come in your life. This is a practice, beautiful one, a powerful one. I share that what happens in all our giving, it's that opportunity to go, God is my source. Not the paycheck, not the government. God is my source. God is my instant, constant, abundant supply. All the time, right there. God is my source. God is my instant, constant, abundant supply. Again, God is my source. God is my instant, constant, abundant supply. Every time something is needed, every time something comes. Again, God is my source. God is my instant, constant, abundant supply. It has to be so. Because you know the truth. God is good. God is good. All the time. And you are wonderful. Bless you.